will fight like lions because we are the
Draft
Amigos.
Hello and welcome to Draft Amigos. I'm Dennis Dow. And you're Jamie Boggs.
You sound super thrilled to be on the podcast today. Can I say that out loud?
Well, I have to tell you, I have mixed emotions in this, is that I love doing this, but, you know, lately we've both been busy. You know, you are Steinbrennering a Little League team, and I am doing other things that I cannot discuss at this moment, but busy. So it's good to talk to you, though. I miss this. I miss your scent. I miss your musk.
This is all over. We should get an apartment together.
Yeah, we should. So yeah, so we are recording this. It is Thursday, May 21st, and we decided to do another episode of just talking about sports stories that are going on. So. Now, we haven't done this in 2 weeks, so a lot of things have happened, namely NBA playoff stuff. The Clippers with what a crazy thing, you know, where they lost the 3-1 lead. Doc Rivers said some really weird things, and all was right with the world. So, yeah, so we had the idea, though, to just do it again. So we'll be talking some NBA playoffs, maybe some Calipari business, and whatever else tickles our fancy. So let's
fancy
get
is often tickled.
Yeah. So let's get started.
All right. You go first. Pick your favorite top story to talk about.
Well, my top story, playoffs.
Playoffs.
I love that clip. I love it. So my. Probably the first story is just the Western Conference Finals. Kind of want to go to that. And the Warriors playing the Rockets. The Warriors are up 1-0. So my thoughts just, I don't know. It's kind of crazy that it's the Rockets. I totally, like everybody else, thought it was going to be the Clippers. Unfortunately, they had I don't really think it was a choke job, per se. I know people are throwing that word around, but I don't think they choked. I think they just got caught in the perfect storm of... I mean, did you watch that game, Game 6?
Yes, I did, actually. I stayed up even after. I was like, oh, I'm going to go to bed. They're up 20 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got
weird quick.
Just watching it, I mean, Houston just got on fire, like NBA Jam fire. Like Josh Smith, who's not a good shooter, just bombing away. I mean, Corey Brewer's hitting threes, Trevor Ariza's hitting threes, and again,
the names you have said sound like James Harden or Dwight Howard. That was the thing for me.
Yeah,
not that I expect Dwight Howard to do anything, but I figured if a big comeback was coming, both of those guys would have to play well, and neither of them were really involved in it.
Well, and that's the funny thing about it is that I think in the whole run that they had, Dwight Howard scored 2 points.
Yeah.
I think I read that. And, I mean, it was – and, again, I hate it for Chris Paul because, you know, he's going to have to deal with the stupid argument of he's not clutch. And I don't know. I just – That's not true. I mean, what else can the guy do? I mean, he played extremely well in the series. I think Game 7 he had 26-11. It's really tough for the Clippers. But, you know, I think a lot of their problems, as people have talked about, is because of Doc Rivers, the GM, who put together the team and got rid of a lot of pieces. And of course, everybody's made a mention this week that there's a story out where he had said that when he inherited the team, he thought the team was a mess. And he said he knew it was going to be a difficult job, even though that team that he inherited had the same record his team had this year and had a higher and had a I think one spot lower playoff seed. So it's weird. Doc Rivers, he tends to say really weird things, but anyway, I know you're actually a Clippers fan. So what's the feeling for you?
I don't know, man. I mean, there's nothing that I can pinpoint and say, oh, well, they stopped doing this or this player started doing that. You're right. I think it was just they felt like they had it in the bag about 35 minutes into game six, and
yeah,
and they got punched in the face and never recovered.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing is that I think, though, Blake Griffin looked really good first half, but it just looked like second half, fourth quarter, he just ran out of gas.
Yeah.
So, I think that has to do with some of that. And, you know, the biggest thing, though, is not, like, I feel bad for that, but mainly I'm kind of selfish in that I really wanted the Clippers and Warriors in the conference finals. Because number one, they absolutely hate each other. Number two, I think it would have been a much better series than Rockets Warriors. I think the Warriors, I don't know. I mean, I've heard people saying six games. I really think it might be done in five and maybe even four. I don't think the Warriors are going to lose. They're quite good.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that kind of I think the same on the other side. I think the Cavaliers are going to make short work of the Hawks. And I fear that the finals are also going to be disappointing. Going back to what we talked about after the first round is that the best of the playoffs happened in the first round. And there were some good second round games, but overall, it's going to get worse as it goes along, I fear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Well, transitioning to the East, was that going to be the first thing you wanted to talk about or no?
Yeah, I mean, we're already there, so we may as well.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Cavaliers game at all?
I did, actually. Yeah, I did.
I don't know what your Korean schedule is like.
Well, that's the thing is that, I don't want to be one of those people, but I find myself as I watch, it's like, I'm worried about the refereeing in this series because it's like you can kind of feel that the NBA wants the Cavs because the casual fan, you know, if it's like, oh, hey, LeBron James is in the finals, it's like, hey, I'll watch. But if it's like, oh, yeah, the Atlanta Hawks are in the finals and people are like, Atlanta has a team?
Yeah.
So... But it was a pretty good game. I mean, I think the Hawks, just the third quarter, I think they had a couple of calls go against them, which, again, any game there's going to be some bad calls. They had a couple of calls go against them, and I just felt like they kind of fell apart in the third quarter. And but I like the Hawks. I think the series will be a little tougher than people think. I really am surprised, though. I really thought Washington would win, but of course the John Wall injury hurt him a little bit, but he came back and played well for them. And I just the Wizards, Nene is so bad.
Yeah,
he's just, anyway, never mind.
I think if John never goes out, the Wizards win that series. Not that I don't know. I just felt like mentally that kind of handicapped the team.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, though, is that, you know, the East Finals, I don't think anybody wants Atlanta to win, you know, like in terms of people want to see LeBron James in the finals, even though, to your point, I think whoever comes out of the East is absolutely going to get killed by the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Wow.
It's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But I am hopeful that, you know, these series will be close. And, you know, maybe there's a couple of close finals games, but Probably not. Sad day. Probably not. Anyway, any other thoughts on that? East?
No, I think similar to what you said, it's going to be over in 4 to 5, just like the West is. So I think we're going to be without basketball for a week or so before the final start.
Man, terrible. Terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. You know what they should do? They should just maybe we could get a switch out and switch the Hawks for the Spurs.
Yeah, let's see what Spurs are doing. That'd be great.
That might make something interesting. Or you know what? Let's just get rid of the Hawks and the Cavs. Spurs, Clippers, East Finals. Winner take all.
I would pay for 7 more of those games. That was a heck of a series.
It was. It was a good series. All right. Wow. Well, transitioning, I guess it's my turn to draft something. Well, we'll just go to the draft lottery. Any thoughts on the draft lottery?
Let me just say it's the first time that a draft has ever been drafted on Draft Amigos.
Nice.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Won't be the last time. So if you, yeah. So if you didn't know, Minnesota Timberwolves, they have the first pick. Lakers with the second pick. Then we have Philadelphia and New York. And I believe the fifth pick belongs to... Oh, gosh. I'm blanking.
Hold on.
I think it's the... is it the Kings?
No, that's later. Because Willie Cauley-Stein minded him going there. Oh, so. Okay. A lot of people were talking about the Cauley-Stein to Marcus Cousins combination out in Sacramento.
Nice.
Why is the draft lottery not a headline on the...
Well, yeah, the biggest story, you know, of course, Karl Anthony Towns, a lot of people expect he will go number one. But maybe you might know more about this than I do. I heard something, and I don't know if they were making it up or not, but something to the effect of that he was kind of trying to force his way to the Lakers. Is that...
I heard that sentence, but I never heard how. I don't know that he was trying to Eli Manning somebody and say, I'm not going to play for you if you draft me, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I also heard that Flip Saunders actually prefers Okafor to Towns, and he thinks he would be a better fit, so there's a chance that he wouldn't take it anyway. I don't know. I don't see it happening. 5's Orlando, 6 is Sacramento.
Okay.
I don't know. I like never saw Okafor play defense all season. He was definitely better when they started at the beginning of the year offensively, but I felt like they were pretty even by the end. Okafor led his team to a national title, so there's that. I don't know. I still think Towns has got to go first just simply because of his defense, his versatility. Yeah. He can shoot a little better from the outside. He runs the floor. And, man, no matter what, with either of those guys, the Wolves in 3 to 4 years should be really solid.
Yeah, well, and I heard I probably heard the best point that I've heard about it so far, and that's just that Towns, a lot of people didn't really get to see what he could do offensively just because it's a different team, different thing that he was kind of asked to do. He was kind of asked on Kentucky to kind of stay in the post. And yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that, you know, most people kind of agree that Towns is the better player. I think offensively people might give it to Okafor just because of his, you know, just his ability in the post. But I think, as you said, overall defense, offense, rebounding, shooting, all of that, I think the edge goes to Towns. So, yeah, I would imagine they'd take him first. I think Towns would be a better fit with the Wolves. Yeah, the Lakers, like, you could bring anybody in there, and they're going to be terrible. So,
Of course, that's a big Kentucky conversation because Randall's already there. They've talked for a year about signing Rondo anyway. So if you got Towns, Rondo, and Randall out there, then they may as well wear blue and white because they're going to sell a lot of yellow and purple here in Lexington.
Ugh, gosh, I hate the Lakers.
I do, too. Very much.
Anyway, yeah. So... Cauley Stein looking like a top 10 pick, possibly. I've also heard some buzz about Trey Lyles. Like, Lyles might be a top 10 guy as well. And, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I've heard Towns, Cauley Stein definitely in the lottery. Lyles likely in the lottery. Booker possibly in the lottery. What's his Dakari somehow in the first round? I don't know what that's about. I've never been super impressed.
Well, something funny, I saw that they asked him, like, who does he compare himself to in the NBA? And he said Robin Lopez.
That's awesome. So, shoot for the moon, kid. Yeah.
Who do you compare yourself to? You know, Rex Chapman. Yeah.
Very much an Antoine Walker, I think, when I get to the league. Yeah, and then I heard a lot about Andrew Harrison looking good, maybe getting himself in the first round, which is interesting. I haven't heard anything about Aaron, but Andrew apparently has grown his stock quite a bit.
I wonder if one team drafts them, if they could be like a package deal where they get both of them. And they could just take turns, like, playing in games. That would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah, maybe they just can't be on the court at the same time.
Yeah. Is that all seven?
Yeah, that's all seven.
Okay. So, yeah, a lot of guys. Wow. So, the biggest thing from the draft lottery, though, what are your feelings about the draft? Do you think that the draft, the current way it is a good system? Do you think there should be changes? Or
I've seen some interesting things lately that would help to eliminate tanking. I don't even remember the scenarios, but just making it to where if you finish, putting a percentage on the amount of games you win, there's too much weight on it, I think, is what they were saying.
Yeah.
If the bottom two teams are separated by one game, there's still a big gap there in their percentage chance of getting a pick. Whereas if one team only won 20 games and the other team won 30 games, the gap will be the same. So making it more about your actual record than about just who's last, who's next to last, and so forth, which, I don't know, that might actually encourage more tanking. But either way, I think that would be more equitable as opposed to having two teams with pretty much identical records having a huge gap in their chances of getting the number one pick.
Yeah. Actually, I read a really interesting article, which I don't know if you saw it, on 538, where they had ideas from their readers about the draft, how to fix it. And one guy had an idea, and the idea is basically from the day that your team is mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, every time that you win a game after that, you get points. And it's like at the end of the season, whoever has the most points gets the first pick in the draft.
Huh.
So it's that idea of, like, you know, if you're a horrible, horrible team and you're mathematically eliminated in March, every game that you play from March to the end of the season, you get a point if you win, and like 0 points if you lose. So at the end, if you have 10 points, but you're not the worst team in the league record-wise, you still get the number one pick. So I kind of like that idea. But I think for me, the biggest thing is that I listened to a clip, which I think it was on the SVP Russillo thing. They played it, but it was Flip Saunders. And he basically said, we were lucky that we lost our last three games and the Knicks somehow won their last two games because that allowed us to get the first pick. So I just think it's weird when you get to a point where it's like, yeah, we were really lucky that we lost. You know, so it's like, yeah, it's just a weird thing for me. So I think, like you, I think there should be something done. But I'm not saying that teams don't tank on purpose. Like, you know, the Spurs, I mean, they tanked to get Duncan. You know, I mean, teams tank. Like, that's what they've always done. Now, some teams have gotten much luckier than other teams. You know, when you're, you know, the Celtics, or not the Celtics, but, you know, when you're like the Trailblazers or the Bulls or the Heat, and you tank and you get, you know, like Tyrus Thomas or, you know, Michael Beasley or, you know, players like that, it doesn't work out so well. But when you tank and you get Tim Duncan, things work out pretty well.
Or if you tank and you get like three number one picks in a row and you trade them all for Kevin Love or whatever.
Yeah, that too.
And I mean, the Sixers, who have been in the top two or three the past three seasons, also got the third pick. So
yeah,
interesting to see what they do with that since they've drafted two centers that sit a year.
Basically.
I don't know.
All right, man. Your turn.
Dude, let's talk more about Deflategate. I hate Deflategate so much. Brady's appealing his suspension, but the Patriots have decided not to appeal their fine or their lost draft picks.
Yep.
Robert Kraft and Goodell are supposed to be big buddies, and he first came out bashing him, and then he came out yesterday or the day before and just kind of said, you know what, we're not going to appeal it. We're going to let the commissioner's office do their job or whatever. I wonder if he's finally starting to realize that Brady lied to him.
Do you think that Roger Goodell and Robert Kraft had like a Zoolander thing where he's like, why you been acting so messed up towards me?
I really hope they did. That would be awesome.
Your work in the 97 JCPenney men's catalog
made me want to become a mom.
Another
Zoolander too.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. No, I mean, I think that at the end of the day, I think that, you know, he got four games, which I think is a little excessive, four games. I think that's a little much. So the other thing is that something that I've heard people say that I really like, and I'm going to steal it, is that basically this is the NFL now, is that they've mishandled so many things now that for any little thing that happens, they are going to absolutely obliterate people. And I think you're right. I think Tom Brady, I think he lied. And that's the thing, though, is that he may have lied, but they have no proof that he lied. And their whole message is something probably happened. And that's my thing is, like, you know, if you don't have proof, then why am I getting suspended for all these games if you don't have proof? You know, and if your proof is that, well, we found all this stuff that's kind of circumstantial, you know, again, I think that a lot of the punishment, though, is that, you know, kind of like you, like, there's a lot of people who really hate the Patriots. And I think that's why the NFL kind of came down so hard on them. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you that I think Brady is lying. But that's the thing, though, is they can't really prove that he was lying.
Right.
And I think that's the other part is, like, you know, they have this investigation and they tell Tom Brady, hey, we need your cell phone because we need to look through your phone. It's like, wow. So the NFL becomes like the CIA and they take people's phones and look through them. And if you don't let the NFL do that, they say you're not cooperating and they give you more games. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, yeah, I just, anyway. But I think you're right. I think Brady did lie.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually think four games is excessive. I assume they gave him four to allow him to appeal and bring it down to two to seem like everybody kind of wins a little bit.
Yeah.
I ultimately think that's what will happen. I guess time will tell. I don't know. We'll see. Either way, hopefully the Dolphins can get a little lead in the division before he comes back.
Ooh, that's something that I can talk to you about. Mr. Ryan Tannehill got himself quite a contract. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I read something about it yesterday, and it seems that it's not the guaranteed money in the contract is not as much as – is not very high at all. I think it's like $40 million through whatever, whereas the overall contract's $96 million. So it seems that the Dolphins, instead of giving him this maximum huge contract, actually kind of just locked him in for a few more years at decent money to see how he does. And if he continues to get better, then he'll probably ask for another extension, and then he'll get paid. But they also made it to where if he's not performing, he's not going to get paid.
Okay.
So it's not as extreme as it looks, because I was pretty I don't know. I was pretty blown away at first.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What are you going to do? Like, this is the last year of his rookie contract. He's the best quarterback we've had since Marino. Is he Andrew Luck? Absolutely not. But if he leaves, who are we going to get? I mean, you have to lock in a guy that's at least decent, right?
I think Rick Clausen's available.
That's what I hear. Maybe we can get Chris Lakes on the pod. He's excited about the Tennessee football.
He was so mad that night when I was making fun of Rick Clausen. Anyway.
That was yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I mean, that's kind of the idea is like, you know, what are we going to do, you know? And I think that's the thing is the Dolphins have had some pretty bad luck with quarterbacks, you know? Like, they famously decided to sign Dante Culpepper instead of Drew Brees.
How'd that work out? Know?
Yeah, so, all right, good yep, to know.
It's not the NBA. That's not guaranteed money. NFL yeah. contracts aren't even guaranteed contracts, so I don't think it's as big a deal as everybody's making out of it.
That's a lot of money. Whew. I know some other teams really hate the Dolphins right now, so there you go.
The punter for the Dolphins. He's like, well, I guess Andrew Luck's going to own the team.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh, man. Good stuff. All right. Wow. Well, some stories that have been in the news recently have involved the University of Kentucky's own Mr. John Calipari. And he famously, well, not famously, today he had a quote that basically said his goal at the beginning of the year was to get 8 guys drafted to the NBA, not win a national title. Your thoughts?
Yeah, his philosophy is, I mean, he always talks about the players first thing. He's obviously not trying to lose, so I wish people would stop putting in that direction. And basically, his philosophy is that if he gets good players, he gets them to buy in and play for each other, then ultimately they're going to drag the team, and winning is going to be a byproduct of what he's doing. So, I mean, like I said, it's not like he's trying to lose. If his focus is on changing these kids' lives, it's hard to argue against that, especially when they are so successful. I don't know. I really have no problem with it at all.
Yeah, I didn't really have a problem with it either. I know that when you see the statement, some people might react to it one way. But that I agree with you. I mean, he's not going into every year saying, you know, I hope we don't win a national title. I hope these guys get drafted. I mean, why not both, you know? So I think it's definitely something that he shoots for. But I think that's his number one priority. What he wants everyone to think, anyways, is that it's the players. So, yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, and if it's not about the players, what is it? I don't know. What's it about? What's the point?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a good
question.
There's
no problem with that. And, I mean, this year has been an odd recruiting year. We'll see how it ends up. But overall, I honestly don't know what he says or what his philosophy is if we keep going to Final Fours every year. So.
Well, and that's the biggest thing, I think, is just Kentucky fans want Kentucky basketball to be relevant.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, people talk about Kentucky basketball. Kentucky basketball is always, you know, they're always ranked. They're always in the top 10. And I think that's what people appreciate so much about Calipari is Kentucky is Kentucky again, you know. So that's the biggest thing for them. And I think that, yeah, anybody that wishes he wasn't the coach for whatever reason probably, you know, just has a problem with that philosophy from the beginning. So it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Sure.
Excuse me. Man. And you had mentioned something about the New Orleans Pelicans before we started recording.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as they fired their coach, the rumor started with Cal going there to coach Anthony Davis and Tyreek Evans, who he coached in college. There are rumors about Cal to the NBA every year, so that wasn't a big deal. But then it came out that he actually reached out to the Pelicans and expressed interest in coaching those players. Once that report came out, he immediately started tweeting about how he's not leaving and he has the best job. And now everybody's speculating on if he's just trying to play it up to get more money from the Pelicans. I don't know. You think he goes now? Do you think he goes soon? What's it going to take to get him to leave?
Well, I think that, to be perfectly frank, I think that any job in the NBA would probably be less pressure than Kentucky, just because here it's such a crazy thing in Kentucky basketball, and fans are so passionate and so loyal to all things Kentucky. I think that, you know, he's never going to be more wanted than he is now. I mean, because people know what kind of a coach he is. They know what kind of players that he works with. And some of the things that he's done, I think he's an underrated coach. I think he's an amazing recruiter. But I think he is a little bit underrated as a coach. And I don't know, though. I mean, just because a guy coached someone in college, I don't think it necessarily translates to success with those players in the NBA. I think, you know, Rick Pitino is a perfect example of that, where, you know, Antoine Walker, Ron Mercer, Walter McCarty, I don't think those guys had nice things to say about Pitino when they played for him in Boston. But I think there is a precedent of it, and I mean, I think I wouldn't blame him if he went to the pros, because he would get paid. I think he just signed an extension with UK that'll pay him like $8 million in the year 2021 or something like that. But now I think he makes probably $6 or $7 million a year. Is that right?
Yeah, it depends on. I think he goes back and forth with endorsements.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to get much more than that in the NBA. You know, I think Derek Fisher, kind of a highly publicized hire, he's getting paid $5 million a year. I think Billy Donovan's deal that he did was for, it's like $5 or $6 million a year. So I think, you know, the money is probably not going to change too much for him. So I don't know. I mean, if I was him, I think you'd have to take a hard look at the NBA, because his first experience, he kind of inherited a really crappy situation, not a very good team, the Nets. And, you know, with the Pelicans, like, they just made the playoffs. Anthony Davis is becoming just, I don't even know how to describe what he's becoming. So you have a team that's kind of on the rise. So if he goes, I think he will be more successful than he was the first time. So I don't know. That's a tough question. I think if they're interested, I think that now would be a great time to go.
Yeah, I think that would be a good time to leave for him. Last year, I think if the Twins and Willie had not come back, he may have gone to the Cavs. I think there was just so much obligation to so many committed players that he came back. And I think it was like a situation like that. I think the Cavs offered him kind of the Doc Rivers deal of, this is your team, you come run it and coach it. And I think it might take something like that. I think it's less about the money, more about the power and the flexibility to do what he wants with his team when he goes back. And I was listening to PTI the other day, to their podcast, and Wilbon was saying that he's young enough to where he could go now, coach in the NBA. If it doesn't work out, he could still come back and be a college coach. It's not like this would be his last shot because of his age.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if the Pelicans is the right spot. I can't imagine Anthony Davis staying there for his whole career. I would imagine him wanting to move to a bigger market, a better team. But you never know.
Huh. Interesting. Man. Yeah.
Can't wait to get you back to America and get you watching college basketball again.
I watch some. Not much, though. Yeah, anyway. Yeah,
is that what's going on this week?
Man, it's hard to watch college basketball these days. Too many charges.
They made some changes. Did you see those? We can talk about that, actually.
Shot clock to 30 seconds. I think it's genius.
They cut down on timeouts. They eliminated the ability to have a timeout right before a media timeout. They talked about enforcing, calling more fouls on defenders to promote more offense.
Calling less fouls, you mean?
No, calling more fouls on the defense so that they have to play back, so that there can be less contact, so that the offense has more freedom to move around.
I got to tell you, anything that involves the college officials having to, like, sort through, I have no faith in.
Yeah, they're bad.
As Mark Cuban said, I forget what he said this time. He said he wouldn't hire a college referee to Oh God, what was it? It was like lower than managing a Dairy Queen. He was like, he wouldn't hire them to, I forget, but no, I think that, yeah, that's good that some of the rules were changed. I like the idea of the shot clock going down. I actually think they should just go with a 24-second shot clock, like the NBA. I just think that it would speed up the game. It would make it, you know, similar to that pro style. So, I don't know. I know that they want to keep certain things with college intact. So, yeah, but I agree with some of those rule changes. I like that. Anything to make the game like less a rock fight, I'm all about.
Agreed. I think it would do that.
Well, and I think another problem too is just with, you know, the craziness of basketball in the States in terms of, like, you know, people just don't really learn how to shoot. Like, they don't learn the skills of the game in a way. So, you know, it's like here in Korea, the funny thing is that every person who plays basketball here, although, you know, they're not even close to as talented as kids in America at basketball, but here, every kid, if they're wide open to shoot, they use the backboard.
Wow.
Every single person. Like, it's just instilled in them that when you shoot, you use the backboard. And kids here, like, if they're open, they hit the shot. Like, it's going in. But it's just funny, like, the difference in just the fundamentals and the difference in how, you know, things are played. So, but yeah, that would be one cool thing. I would enjoy watching more college basketball. Especially on those Saturday afternoons, noon. Talking about getting a Reuben. No. I don't like Reubens. Those are not good. Anyway.
They're not.
Man, I don't really have any other sports stories off the top of my head.
That's all I got. In our pre-production meeting, you mentioned me coming up with a baseball story. I think that was just to patronize me.
No, it wasn't.
It's late May. There's nothing going on.
Here we go. We could talk about this. Is it patronize or patronize?
I think it depends on how arrogant you are, and you're a jerk, so it's probably patronize. There you go.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's the funny thing. I teach English, so I get a lot of really funny pronunciations. So it's good stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I think one crazy thing with baseball, though, is that the Astros are in first place.
Yeah.
The Houston Astros, who lost 100 games last year.
Dude, they got a really good young base of players.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, this is one of those things that's not going to last. But
oh, snap.
It's fun. I mean, it's just like the Brewers, 3 or 4 years in a row, started out hot. And everybody knew that was going to go away.
They're not doing so well this year, huh?
No. Not at all.
Who do you like? Who do you like coming out of the in the World Series? Who's Jamie's picks? I know it's way too early, but what are you gonna do? You know,
it's way too early. I don't know. The Nationals still have to be a favorite. I know they're not performing up to potential, but they have to be the favorite in the NL, I think. I don't know. In the AL, probably the Tigers or the Royals.
Yeah.
We'll see. Anybody but the Cardinals and Giants.
Isn't that crazy that the Royals are a good baseball team now?
I love it.
They've been not good for so long.
Really long time.
And they're kind of villains. I kind of like that. I kind of like that when I check ESPN, it's like the Royals had another fight. I like it. I dig it. Well, oh man. Well, that's all I got, man. I'm empty. I don't know what else to talk about. As I said, I think the Warriors will clean house. They will be in the finals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they destroy the Cavaliers. And yeah, there's once again visiting about what to do about conferences. I think Karl Anthony Towns goes number one. I think Okafor goes two. And after that, I don't know. No clue.
I agree with pretty much everything you said.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yep. Yep.
There you go.
World Series, Giants and Cardinals.
I mean, they can't play each other in the World Series. They're both NL teams. Those are just the two teams I really hate.
They can play now. I made it up. You know, there's some really funny names over here, baseball teams.
Yeah.
So one team, they are called the Dinos. Their logo is the Dinos. They're a dinosaur.
Nice.
We've got the Eagles, the Lions. One team, their name is the Heroes. You've got the Twins, the Giants, the Bears, and the Wyverns.
What's that?
It's like a dragon. So the Wyverns, they're kind of like the Yankees of Korean baseball. They're always good. And actually, Chan-ho Park. You remember Chan-ho Park?
I do.
He plays for the Eagles. It was the team he started out with, and he came back a couple of years ago, and it was like a really big deal here in Korea. That he came back to his old team. Because, you know, he played in the major league, so he's a huge hero over here. Same with, like, Shin-Soo Chu and, you know, Ryu. Like, they're really big over here. So every Dodgers game is on TV. Every who does Shin-Soo Chu play for now? The Rangers?
Yes.
So every Rangers game on TV, like, it's crazy. They're all about their guys here. So, yeah.
Awesome. They're good players. He was awesome with the Reds.
Too bad he left.
Too bad. Couldn't afford him, man.
Baseball. Here we go. One last question just to finish up. Do you think baseball needs a salary cap?
No, I don't think so.
Why is that?
It's not like the Yankees and Red Sox are winning the World Series every year.
True
it's
story.
Not like their players are panning out. They're overpaying people, which just makes them look stupid. So I think the system kind of fixes itself. The one rule change that's coming that I hate is that within the next 5 years, they're going to be DHing in the NL, and I hate that.
You did talk about that.
I hate that.
Why do you hate the DH so much?
Because pitchers should hit.
But they can't hit.
I don't care. They need to learn to.
It's like the free throw thing in basketball, huh?
Yeah, exactly like that.
Wow.
So that's a good comparison.
All right. Well, chicks dig the long ball, so.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, we are absolutely out of things to talk about, so. We are going to sign off. I'm Dennis Dow, and I'm pretty sure you're crotchety old Jamie Boggs. And we are so glad to have recorded this. And we will try to keep coming back. Hopefully things will not be so crazy. Jamie is going to manage his baseball team. And I am going to... I can't say, but I'm going to. So anyway, we are signing off. We are the Draft Amigos. As always, you can hit us up on Facebook, email, Twitter, all those good things. And we will see you next time. Peace out.
Peace out.
Fight like lions, because we are the
Draft.